all over the world on this auspicious day. I wonder what the number is. How many devotees connected with the Hare Krishna movement are worshipping Govardhan Hill? Probably a lot. There was a question, how many people do you have come here for Janmashtami? Roughly. 40,000-50,000. Do you have an idea how many come to Juhu or Janmashtami? Once I asked our international communications minister, Anuttama Prabhu, how many people are at, when people ask me how many members do we have in the Hare Krishna movement, what should I tell them? Don't sit there, sit over here. He said, well, we don't have a census. But I figure on Janmashtami Day at Juhu, I was told they have 1 million people. So I say we have 1 million people. It's because just in one place there's 1 million people. And they come and worship Krishna, of course. What does that mean? It means different things for different people. But next to Janmashtami, for a little report from a sannyasi that travels from time to time, next to worldwide, maybe not here in Hyderabad or other places in India, but next to Janmashtami, Govardhan Puja's most populated, happy event, public event. Maybe Ram Navami is more popular. Yeah. Anyway, Govardhan Puja. And there are transcendental reasons that have to do with the rasa that Krishna facilitated by his lifting of Govardhan Hill. Of course, Govardhan Puja comes before Giridhari, Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. This morning, in the Bhagavatam class, from Canto 1, Chapter 14, we heard about the four principles that are religious principles that are observed by pious souls, and without which it's very difficult to fully surrender to the personality of Godhead, as much as it's very difficult for wet wood to ignite. But when wet wood becomes dry wood, it can ignite. And one of those principles, the first one of the list, austerity, tapa, when tapa is absent, not just, undergoing austerity because everyone undergoes austerity. When it's hot for everybody. Even if you turn on the air conditioning, so many of us got colds because of the air conditioning in Tirupati. Anyway, when it's hot, it's hot. When it's cold, it's cold. When it's the circumstances are what they are, we all experience. Everyone gets their electricity shut off, even the Hare Krishna temple, between this hour and that hour, and water shortage. And so not that kind of austerity, but tapo divyam, that austerity that's performed specifically For what? For the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Rishabhdev gave this instruction to his 100th son, Tapo Divyam. The human form of life is meant for that, not just tapa, something that's uncomfortable or difficult, but for the purpose of spiritual elevation. The purpose of human life is spiritual elevation and accepting voluntarily those things that are meant for spiritual elevation. Like rising early in the morning. Oh, rising early in the morning. It's nice rising early in the morning. Anyway, for the purpose of spiritual elevation. And once one becomes accustomed to rising early for performing morning sadhana, it's an austerity to not rise early to perform morning sadhana. Those of you that are regular chanters, if something keeps you up late and it's difficult to rise early in the morning, what's your sadhana like? And then when your sadhana is messy, what's your day like? Anyway, tapo divyam. So when tapa, the divyam, is neglected, then pride will quickly enter in. Demoniac kings, the king before King Prithu, he forbade everyone from performing religious rituals. Why? We don't want to honor the personality of Godhead. We're opposed to the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, and those above us were powerful and we don't need them. So that deteriorates the quality of mankind. So that pride is not only the consequence of Kali Yuga or of people that are on the earth planet during Kali Yuga, even in other yugas, that's there, pride, and even not only just on this planet but in the heavenly planets. And in this case, in Govardhan Leela, Govardhan Puja Leela, that pride was in the heart of Lord Indra. And Krishna is very kind. He doesn't like bad qualities in the hearts of his devotees. And sometimes he doesn't directly do something, sometimes he directly does something. And when he directly does something, that's his special mercy. And in this case, the Govardhan Puja Leela was specifically for that purpose. Krishna wanted to relieve from the heart of Indra a mountain of pride. You've heard me say this before. If you haven't, here it is for the first time. There's a little mathematical formula. It goes like this. We'll start on this side. The fruits of piety. So, in this world of Punya Bhumi, India, piety is considered good. So, you're encouraged to do pious things. And with pious things comes fruits of piety. There's a reason why piety is encouraged. You get fruits. And from piety, then you can enjoy the fruits. Commonly, that's the purpose behind encouragement of piety, largely in this world. But when... the fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. We just read it in our purport of this morning's verse, Prabhupada wrote this phrase that he would often say, even a pauper is proud of his penny. Remember reading that? Even a pauper? You know what a pauper is? Poor person. A poor person is a pauper. They don't have anything. But they may have a little something. Remember Prabhupada reciting this story? And when he was little, living in Calcutta, his father, he was very excited to see Jagannath Rath Yatra in Puri, so his father agreed to take him. So they took the train that goes from Calcutta to Puri. It still goes directly to Puri. And there are places, stations, where you can get off, and there's a long wait. So as a little boy, he got off in one of those places, and he was walking around the platform, and he saw one pauper, husband and wife, very poor, and they had a cloth that was kind of tattered and had holes in it, and they had some discarded pieces of wood. So they stretched out their cloth and were counting their broken pieces of wood, placing it from this point to that point so they could wrap it up again in their cloth. And Prabhupada said, from that I could understand, little boy. Even a pauper is proud of his penny. What do they have? Not much. But they're proud of whatever that is. And we're the same, whatever it is that we have. And we're hankering for more. We're proud of what we have. And we're forgetting where that something came from and how to utilize that something that we have in service to Krishna. And when Krishna sees us using what he has given us wisely and carefully and frugally in his service, he's very happy to entrust us with more. But one who gets more, there's this possibility, tendency, to become the enjoyer of that something. Just like Sugriva. After he regained the king, or became the king, his Vali was slain. He became the king, and the 4 months of the rainy season came. What happened? He lost it. He had made a vow, a promise to Ram. But he completely forgot Ram. He forgot his promise. He forgot, like we were speaking this morning about truthfulness. He took a vow and just forgot his vow. He was a great devotee. Completely. We're not great devotees. We make vows, and he just forgot his vow. Completely absorbed in sense gratification. Not religious, not pious activities, just enjoying the opulence of the kingdom. And again, the association of wife and so on and so on. Ram was not happy. Hanuman was like, or Lakshman was like fire. The Supreme Lord doesn't like pride. So, knowing that the heart of Indra was proud, Krishna decided to perform a pastime of removing the pride of Indra. That's one of the major themes. And interestingly, this was a pastime that began in the afternoon, and it was the same afternoon just after the pastime of the wives of the brahmanas coming to feed Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys. You know that wonderful leela. Wonderful leela. I've been studying Sri Brahma Samhita, and one of the comments of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Krishna, it's in reference to a verse where Krishna is at the center of everything. He's at the center of all rasa. He's at the center. One of the adjectives describing types of rasa was bewildered. So the example given by Bhaktisiddhanta of the bewildered was the husbands of the wives of the brahmanas, or the brahmanas themselves. Because even they saw Krishna, they were given the opportunity to serve Krishna. They're doing Vedic sacrifices for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. And there he came asking for something, and they didn't even say no. They didn't even say anything. They were just rude. Krishna said to the cowherd boys, "Use my name." Sometimes we do the other way. Don't use my name. Krishna said, "Use my name. Say Krishna and Balaram sent you. They're hungry. Please be charitable and give them something." They just ignored the cowherd boys. But then, of course, the wives, another story. And after Krishna fully satisfied them and sent them back to their homes, almost our acharyas describe, and you can look it up later if you like, the words that Krishna spoke to the wives of the brahmanas were the exact same words that Krishna spoke to the gopis when they came hearing the sound of Krishna's vansi to come and enjoy rasa dance, and Krishna said, "You should go back home." Same exact Sanskrit. The quality, the intensity of the quality of their love was different than the gopis, so they replied a little differently. But after Krishna satisfied their desire, and it's said that he said, "Don't worry, your husbands will not be unhappy with you. They will actually be happy with you that you came and did this service." And in fact, they were not only happy with their wives, they were admonishing themselves how foolish we are. We had this opportunity and we still did nothing. And then it goes on to say, still they did nothing because they were afraid of Kamsa. If Kamsa comes to know that we've done something in service to Krishna, we're in trouble. So they didn't do anything. Bewildered brahmanas, not a good combination. So just after that lila was finished, Krishna had eaten sumptuously with all the other cowherd boys. They continued, it was along the side of Govardhan Hill, and they continued walking along the side of Govardhan Hill, as they would do regularly. And they saw this massive festival being prepared. You know what it's like, you go in the temple room and see all these festoons and banners and fire yajnas and this and that, and hey, what's the festival? So Krishna asked his father, "What's the festival?" And he asked in an elaborate way. He specifically asked, "Is this festival something that's family tradition or something that's enjoined in the Vedas?" Because there's it's not family tradition is zero. There are places in India and places in the world where by tradition something. And because it's a family tradition, one does that something. However, and then different families have different traditions, or different groups of people have different traditions, different cultures have different traditions. But something that's enjoined in the Vedas, that's much stronger. So he asks, "Which is it?" And then he asks, very important, "What's the purpose behind it?" Because if one does something that is enjoined in the Vedas and one doesn't know the purpose behind it, one will not get the full benefit. We know this from Nectar of Instruction. One should not neglect rules and regulations, nor should one perform the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind it. Just do mechanically, mindlessly, blindly. That's not bhakti. It won't necessarily lead to bhakti. Just do some ritual without understanding the purpose behind it. So he wanted to know the purpose behind it. And then he said, you're my father, it's the duty of the father to instruct the son. So please don't consider that I'm just a little 7-year-old boy, what will I understand? Please instruct me fully. Krishna was pretty thorough in his question. And his father didn't answer, is it family tradition or enjoined in the Vedas, but he did say, our occupation is we are cowherds. We protect the cows. And for the protection of the cows, we require grasses to feed the cows. And to have grasses, we require rain. So whenever there is ample rain, so we can have ample grain, so we can feed our cows nicely and our dharma is provided for by that rain, we want to offer our gratitude and our worship of he who has made the arrangement to supply that grain, Indra. So all this paraphernalia is for puja for Indra. We do this every year. So we all know the pastime. Krishna then spoke atheistic philosophy. You don't need to do worship. Because whether there's God or there's not God, the highest principle is you do your work nicely. And if there's not God, it doesn't matter. If there is God, then he's obliged to supply according to the quality of your work. So that means karma is above God. He's just the administrator of that law of karma. So do good karma. Do good work. It's karma mimamsa philosophy. You read the purports carefully and it's atheistic philosophy. Now why would Krishna argue atheistic philosophy? Krishna is taking the side of Jaimini. The Jaimini followers probably like that section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just see, even Krishna's teaching. Practically, Krishna could have said anything to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj would have been happy because of his love for Krishna. But there's a certain sense, especially for the atheists, there's a sense where they like logic, especially when they don't like God. They like logic. So, for those people, it's very logical. God or not God? It doesn't really matter. Be a theist, be an atheist, whatever you like. Because Krishna isn't obliged. Krishna does, but not because there's some law above him, the law of karma specifically, that he is obliged. He's in charge of it. He creates it. Through his agents, he administers it. He can make exceptions to it. He can do whatever he likes. That's the position of Ishvara. Prabhupada gives this example of a prison. So the governor of a particular territory has the power of going into a prison and granting amnesty to someone who's in the prison. The state creates the prison. People violate the law, they're in prison. The governor, or the chief administrative person, or the king, can enter that prison and free somebody. He has the power to do that. Krishna has the power to do that. He's not under the control of karma himself. He's not of necessity administering the law of karma. It's different. He's above it. He's the power of it. But Krishna argued this atheistic philosophy. And then he just, in the same description, he went on saying to his father, it's actually not Indra that we're dependent upon because our occupation is that of cowherds. We're dependent upon Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill is supplying nice water and fresh grasses for the cows and shade under the trees by the side of Govardhan Hill. And so we should really worship Govardhan Hill. All this paraphernalia assembled together should be used for worship of Govardhan Hill. And then he described how the worship should be done. Just as when we go downstairs, you'll see. Take all these ingredients, bring them to a kitchen, and make fantastic preparations. Piles and piles and piles of rice, and piles and piles and piles of vegetable preparations, sweets and cakes, and so many things. Put it all in one big anukut, big mountain of offering to Govardhan Hill. And offer it all to Govardhan Hill. And after the offering to Govardhan Hill, let us feed all the brahmanas and all the cows and all the residents of Vrindavan sumptuously. Given charity to the brahmanas and to the residents of Vrindavan. And then take our bullock carts and we'll circumambulate around Govardhan Hill. Just like we do worshipping downstairs Govardhan Hill. Or we worship Tulsi Devi. We circumambulate Tulsi Devi. Or the Parikrama Marg around the deities. You can circumambulate the deities. The honorable person, in this case Govardhan Hill, let us all circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So that was the first Govardhan Parikrama. And then been a lot of them since then. Some of our commentators say, although it's not in the verses, Nanda Maharaj smiled and said, let's divide it in half. Half we can worship Indra, the other half we'll worship Govardhan Hill. Krishna said, no, everything goes to Govardhan Hill. And the nature of Nanda Maharaj, although he's the adult and his son is just, in this case, 7 years old, his love for Krishna is completely under the direction of Yogamaya, or the internal potency. Yogamaya is simply to assist Krishna's pastimes. Because in addition to worshipping Govardhan Hill, Krishna had, and thus curbing the pride of Indra, Krishna had other purposes. And those that are devotees may even do things and say things that look like in contradiction to Krishna, like the gopis, especially Lalita and Vishakha. They say very mean-sounding things to Krishna, and Krishna likes it. They don't say it because Krishna doesn't like it. They're not insulting Krishna. It's the intimacy of their love with Krishna, and under the influence of Yogamaya, that they say what they say and do what they do and act in contradictory ways. There's a small book written by Jiva Goswami called Madhava Mahotsav. And in that Madhava, just a little section out of a small book, it's a pastime, it's a depiction of a pastime where by the arrangements of Purnamasi, that's her name, Yogamaya's name in Krishna's pastimes is Purnamasi. Purnamasi has made an arrangement for a rendezvous between Radha and Krishna. This is one day. And it's done through the agency of, Yogamaya does things through the agency of others. So Vrinda Devi was informed by Purnamasi. Vrinda Devi has a whole large number of parrots. Those of you that have been to Dinabandhu's ashram in Vrindakund, you know about the parrots. Vrinda Devi sent out many, many parrots to inform everybody, this is the pastime for the day, arranged by Purnamasi. Radha and Krishna are supposed to meet. So the gopis are all very expectantly preparing Radharani, painting her toenails and, you know, everything. You see all those wonderful paintings. Preparing Radharani to meet Krishna. And Krishna's late. Yugayitam nimeshena prakshusha shavasayitam. Where even one moment seems like a yuga. And a yuga is a long time. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Radharani's becoming anxious, and then Radharani's becoming angry. What is Krishna doing? So he sends one of his messengers, a duti, and she sees one of Chandravali's messengers, Shaibya. And Shaibya says, oh, well, your Pransaki is just going to have to wait because Krishna's with Chandravali right now. So the message goes back to Radharani, and Radharani enters into this mood of extreme anger. She just disappears. She does different things when she gets angry. This time she just ran, like, you know, just even her close associates, even Lalita and Vishakha, she just left without them. It's a leela, don't worry. And finally Krishna comes. And the gopis blast Krishna, get out of here. You rascal, we know what you're up to. Leave at once. Radharani doesn't even want to see you. And Krishna pleads, and they don't. Their spirit is unbending. And then Krishna goes to a solitary place and feels separation from Radharani. Like Radharani feels separation. It's not only one-sided. It's a relationship of love. Radharani feels great separation. Excuse me, Krishna feels great separation. And Purnamasi comes to know of what Krishna's condition. He puts down his flute. He takes the peacock feather out of his hair. He wants to stop being Krishna. He's like devastated. Purnamasi begins to worry, so she wants to go find Radharani and tell Radharani, come quickly, Krishna may give up his life. So Purnamasi, this is, you know, Yogamaya personified. Purnamasi is searching here and there and there and here and has different messengers looking in all directions. And finally she comes to this cottage deep in the forest. She looks into the window and she sees Radharani inside that little cottage. And Radharani's talking to herself, saying, why do I speak like this? Why do I get in these moods of uncontrolled anger toward Krishna? What overcomes me? I know what Krishna is. I know he has so many that are attracted to him. But what can I do? I've given my heart to him. He's my beloved. Why do I carry on like this? And she's berating and like we do sometimes. Why do I get like this? Purnamasi overhears everything. It's the Yogamaya potency. When the gopis behave this way, or things like that. Not when Indra becomes proud, that's something else. That's the external energy. But when the internal energy acts, even Nanda Maharaj, he does something that, you know, one would normally not do. He agrees, okay, we won't worship Indra, we'll worship Govardhan Hill. Worship Hill. He's the king of the cowherds. And the 7-year-old boy says, worship the hill. Okay, we'll worship the hill. So all the brahmanas are given the ingredients and they prepare wonderful offerings, and it's huge anukut. Those of you that have been to Govardhan Hill, they make all the offerings. The stretch of land where if you're doing Govardhan Parikrama and you visit Manasi Ganga and you come back out from Manasi Ganga and start going through Govardhan village and then continue going south along the eastern side of Govardhan Hill, and there's the footprints of Srimati Radharani and that wonderful Leela. Anyway, the place where the Anukut transpires, it's several miles long. It's huge. It wasn't just like what we have in the temple room. Nice big hill, a Halava hill, or rice hill, or whatever. Miles. So what did Krishna do? He manifested a form of Hari. Because he wanted his father to know it wasn't just child talk, silly child talk. Govardhan Hill is not different than Hari. In fact, Hari himself appeared. And Krishna came forward and offered obeisances to Krishna in the form of Lord Hari, who was the form of Govardhan Hill. It was three forms of Krishna all at once. Krishna and Krishna and Krishna. Very nice. Triple Krishna. And following Krishna, they all came and offered their obeisances before Hari. And Hari, huge form of Hari, very quickly he ate everything. Miles of Anukut. I know how some temples in the West, they try each year to make a larger offering than the previous year, and then the next year is a larger offering than so many preparations. 108 preparations, 216 preparations, like that, just keep going and going and going and going. And maybe you've seen photos, maybe you can go online to see what they do at Mayapur. How many, there's the whole altar is filled with preparations, and the, you know, the kitchens are like jammed with people making preparations. And preparations and preparations. I was once in Ukraine during Govardhan Puja. And in the city of Ukraine, they have a tradition that they make a cake, because Russian people are good at making cakes and people in Russia like cakes. So they make a cake. And each year it's a bigger cake and a bigger cake and a bigger cake. The year that I went there, that was like, I don't know, 12 years ago. It was on national television. The cake was so big. It was bigger than this hall. And it was tall. It wasn't just like a little flat cake. It was a hill of cake. And people would come and circumambulate the hill, singing Hare Krishna. You know, thousands of people on national television. And each year they make a bigger one. I don't know what they're doing this year because of all the turmoil in Ukraine. But I imagine that they're continuing with their tradition. Very popular. So Hari ate everything. And then, you know what happened. He said, I want more. Anior. In the local language. Anior. I want more. I want more. So the residents of Vrindavan, they saw this huge form of Hari asking for more. They went to get more. They emptied out their storerooms and everything they had, and they made more and brought all that before Lord Hari, and just like that, he ate everything and said it again. Anior, Anior, I want more. What to do? Balaram knew what to do. He said, bring him one tulsi leaf. And with one tulsi leaf, So, we offer everything in our temples. Every single preparation that goes before the deity has one tulsi leaf, at least, on that preparation offered to the deity, because the Lord is satisfied with the devotion with which something is offered, and Tulsi Devi has that unalloyed devotion always for Krishna, and therefore we worship her, who is very pleasing to Krishna. And just as Krishna had instructed, there's an elaborate description of how all the cows were sumptuously fed, and all the brahmanas were sumptuously fed, and all the residents of Vrindavan are all sumptuously fed. And then they did their Govardhan Parikrama, just as Krishna said. And so when we do Govardhan Parikrama, next time you go to Vrindavan and do Govardhan Parikrama, remember, we're just following in the footsteps of Krishna and Balaram, the resident of Vrindavan, doing their Govardhan Parikrama. It's more than auspicious. It's transcendentally joyful. Transcendentally joyful. And they were experiencing that transcendental joy, but except for one person. Indra. Because of pride. He became very angry. And put those two together, pride and anger. And somebody can do something awful. The something awful he wanted to do was destroy Krishna, the resident of Vrindavan, and all the cows in Vrindavan. He wanted to kill the cows and kill the Vrajavasis and kill Krishna. Indra! Wow! And in his anger, he made a plan how to do it. The cloud of devastation that's reserved for that very special time when the cosmic annihilation is to take place. Either partial or complete. And he called that cloud, that weapon of his, send torrents of rain. I remember describing this pastime once here in this hall and looking at the columns that hold up this hall. The rain that came down wasn't just like, you know, monsoon rain. It was like columns of rain. And, you know, lightning and thunder and wind. So what did the residents of Vrindavan do? Krishna! Krishna! Please help us. Indra is angry because we didn't worship him, and you're our only shelter, Krishna. So Krishna is very kind. He said, don't worry. I'm going to lift Govardhan Hill, and you can all bring the bullock carts and all the family paraphernalia and all the cows and everything underneath the hill of Govardhan, and everything will be all right. 7-year-old boy. With one hand, he lifted up Govardhan Hill. And just to emphasize, he held it with his left hand, not his right hand. And the little finger of his left hand, not his whole his hand. In fact, Krishna didn't even need to lift his arm. Krishna didn't need anything. Krishna didn't even need Govardhan Hill. But he did his pastime. Why? For his devotees. Because another one of the purposes that Krishna wanted to fulfill, he fulfilled. And that was giving the associates of Vrindavan uninterrupted association with him for 7 days and seven nights. Because in his Leela, there was daily meeting and separation, meeting and separation. When he would go out with the cowherd boys, they were very happy. And the cows were very happy, jubilant. But those in the village of Vrindavan were very sad, feeling separation from Krishna. If you read in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, I'm watching the clock, we have 4 minutes. So, Brihat Bhagavatamrita's Gopa Kumar, part two, he finally makes it. He goes back to Godhead. But he ends up in a place he doesn't even know where he is. And he starts asking people, where am I? What is this place? And who is in charge here? And nobody will even talk to him. And he's considering, these people are really rude. I mean, it looks very opulent and very nice and peaceful, but no one even says hello. Finally, one old lady kindly said, you're in Goloka, and the person who presides here is Govinda, Gopal, Krishna. And the reason no one will talk to you is they're feeling such pain of separation from Krishna, because he's gone to herd the cows. And the pain of separation is such they can't even speak, even if they wanted to be polite. They can't. But you see all those people running in that direction? Because Krishna is soon going to come. And they're so enthusiastic to see Krishna. If you want to see him, go. Head that direction. And you will see him too. And the whole of Vrindavan is running, 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 running. The Gopal Kumar starts running and running and running and running, and it's really beautiful. It's just a beautiful scene. He sees some dust from the forest area. It's the hooves of the cows raising dust in the air. And then he hears the tooting of the buffalo horn. Krishna's coming, and the residents are so excited. And then he starts to see the thousands of cows, hundreds of thousands of cows. And in the midst of the cows, he sees the cowherd boys, and he sees Krishna. And he starts running with his arms outstretched. Krishna, Madan Mohan, Madan Gopal. And Krishna sees Gopal Kumar, and Krishna stretches his arms out, starts running towards Gopal Kumar. And before they even meet one another, they both faint in ecstasy. He reached Goloka. And there's more. But we're going to go down and do Govardhan Puja because that's what Krishna said to do. The residents of Vrindavan had the opportunity, instead of sometimes separation from Krishna when he would go out herding the cows, that's if you're a resident of Vrindavan, or when the cowherd boys, it was time for Krishna to go back into Nandagram, take his bath, have his evening meal. They didn't want to be separated from Krishna. They wanted to be with Krishna. And the cows, they went to the Goshala and they were just mooing. They couldn't sleep all night waiting for the next morning to be with Krishna again. All the residents of Vrindavan had such intense love for Krishna. So this was a pastime to allow all the residents of Vrindavan without interruption to be with Krishna 24/7. And wonderful pastimes while he was holding up the hill of Govardhan. So let us go and worship Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Puja ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.